19, please. Maybe I can get one of these men to sing, to lead you in some songs here in the afternoon between Brother Lee and Brother Paul. We'll see if one of those guys feel the leading of God and my pushing and prodding them now. Or Brother Roy. You have a cough? Brother Roy's sick. He's got a cold. Only if he had a hat and a guitar in his hand. Actually, he doesn't have to have a cowboy hat. He just needs, did you start that audio already? All right. I love doing stuff like this. It just makes it so much fun for people when they listen. They probably think we're crazy, but anyway, we are a little bit. Psalm 19, let's get going here. I got that. I don't want to have to edit anything, so I better get moving here. Psalm 19. Well, listen, as we look at this, we talked about last week, didn't we? We covered secret faults and secret vaults. Amen. Those secret sins. And I'm sure you're all glad we're done with that one. But this one might not be any more comfortable. All right. It's presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. And Psalm 19 here, Psalms 19. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That was the cry of David, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Well, we'll talk about what is that great transgression? What does he mean by that? What does he mean? What does he mean by presumptuous sins? Father, I pray you'd bless us. Dear God in heaven, we need to hear from you. Lord, we need to understand this. We need clarity. Lord, we need to be obedient to your word. Lord, may it change us today. May what we've heard today sink down in the depths of our heart and help it to grow and grow in our lives. And to manifest in our lives, Lord, as a great truth. God, use us, I pray. Help us, Lord. Reprove us. Fix us as only you can, Lord. Cleanse us from secret faults and keep thy servant back from presumptuous sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. What does he mean by the word presumptuous? What does he mean when David says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins? He first talked about the sins of secret sins or secret faults. And he said, dear God, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Those hidden dangers inside. You know, and like Spurgeon said, the quote we use from him that he said about practical atheism is what it is. It's to sin in private, but to be scared to sin in front of our brethren because we are respecter of persons, which we'll talk about this afternoon, actually. But we are respecter of persons and we care more for what a man thinks than sinning before our God. It's putting God below man. It's practical atheism. What does he mean, though, by presumptuous? It means willful, done with bold design, rash confidence, or in violation of known duty. Do you get that? Basically, presumptuous sins are you and I outwardly sinning, knowing that we are sinning against God and knowing full well what we're doing. I had one brother online, Brother Lewis here from England, and he said it's brazen betrayal. I said, that's good. I think I'll use that in my title. Brazen betrayal. That's what it is. For the child of God, it is brazen betrayal to him. To God. But let's look at that. That was Webster's explanation of what it is. And by the way, he uses the scriptures also in his definitions here. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 43 says this. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear. but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. What happened? The Israelites knew. God told them, hey, listen, they wouldn't go into the land. Remember the 12 spies? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember that? That's a fun song. Remember that? You do the hand signals really fast. No, you don't know how to do that. Anyway, some of you don't know it. You're just looking at me funny. Don't act like you never went to a junior church and got a free sucker. Come on. Knock it off. I know somebody got it. That's right. You handed those suckers out, didn't you, Brother Paul? That's right. That's right. All right. Oh, he's blaming it on his wife now. All right. Anyway, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? They came back, they gave an evil report of the land. And what they say? Well, we're not going to go. And they wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to kill everybody. They wanted to kill the leadership. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go be in bondage. Let's go back to our sin. Let's go back to be the servants in the iron furnace. Let's go back there. But what happened? God came down, killed some people. Took some refining fire and burned it through them and killed off some people that were in the rebellion. All those witnesses, 10 witnesses died. All of them died. And then what did he do? Then what did they do? They doubled down on their rebellion. They said, all right, now we'll go into the land. Now we'll go up and we'll take that hill. And God said, no, don't you go. Moses said, don't you go. And what did he say? He said, they sinned presumptuously. They went up the hill anyway. They knew they were wrong with what they were doing, but they did it anyway. They knew what they were doing was wrong. Deuteronomy 17:12, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. Now I'm going to explain that presumptuous sin to you in a minute with that man right there. There's a man that did something and he sinned against God presumptuously. And some people look at it and be like, why was this so harsh? Why was God's judgment so harsh? Because it was his reasoning behind why the man was doing it, why God judged him so fiercely. And I'll explain that to you in a little while. But there's that word presumptuously again. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. They won't go in and boldly, rashly rebel against God and sin against God presumptuously in a bold way with confidence. In bold design. That's what that means. Exodus 21:14, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Who did that? Joab. Remember? Joab plotted, planned, and executed those two men that were more just and more righteous than he. And what did he do? He grabbed hold onto the horns of the altar for mercy. And what did God say? What was God's law? He said, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. That's exactly what Joab did. Exactly what he did. So God said, if this happens, you take him from the altar and you put him to death. Because they cold-bloodedly murdered that man and plotted his death. Amen. That's what presumptuously means. That's what it means. It's to boldly sin before God. To boldly, with rash confidence, to sin before the Lord. This is different than secret sins, to hide them away. But it's a boldness and a rebelliousness against God. Straightforward, out there, I'm going to do what I want to do. Like the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They were puffed up, it says, and have not put this man from them. That guy was walking around saying, yeah, I took my father's wife. I took her. Yeah, I took her. I fornicated. I did this. And he was coming to church and he was showing presumptuously. And he was bragging about it. He was fine with it. He did it presumptuously. He did it in front of everybody. And Paul said, what are you doing? Get this man out of here. You can't let him do that. He said, you're puffed up. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18. Remember, all sins come from the heart. Those secret sins will manifest. And you'll get bolder with your sin. I've met people that'll be bold. You ever met a young person that you know is not saved and they get out in the world? And they're so bold when they see you, like they'll have a can of beer in their hand. Or they'll dress up in all their gear and all their wickedness, and they'll do it right in front of you. they start out slow and just talking to you, and they're, you know, they get a little bold or a little brat. You see them a couple months later, and man, they're presumptuously, they're boldly sinning against God right in front of. I mean, they'll walk around with their sodomite boyfriends, and they'll do that all in front of you. Why? Presumptuous, bold sinning. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. He's saying all that wickedness comes from your heart. Those sins that are committed before all. If secret sins aren't dealt with, they'll manifest like that. You'll get bold with it. I like this quote. I know I'm using Spurgeon's quote, but if you bear with me here, they are very good quotes and very good understanding of this topic as well. He said, "It must either be a sin against light and knowledge, or a sin committed with deliberation, or a sin committed with a design of sinning, merely for sinning's sake. Or else it must be a sin committed through hardihood from a man's rash confidence in his own strength." We are not talking about a man sinning in ignorance. But this is presumptuous. This is willful sin. This is not like, I'm doing this boldly in front of you. And I'm going to advertise this wickedness in front of you because I know what you stand for, and I'm going to do it anyway. How many children that rebel against their parents do it right in front of them? You hate this rock music? I'm going to play this rock music. You hate this? I'm going to do it in front of you. He goes on to say, "This conscience is often an inner light to men, whereby they are warned of forbidden acts as being sinful. Then if I sin against conscience, though I have no greater light than conscience affords me, still my sin is presumptuous. If I have presumed to go against that voice of God in my heart and enlightened conscience, you, young man, were once tempted, and perhaps it was but yesterday, to commit a certain act. The very moment you were tempted, conscience said, 'It is wrong, it is wrong.' It shouted murder in your heart and told you the deed you were about to commit was abominable in the sight of the Lord." You had a friend that committed the same sin without the warning of conscience. In him it was guilt. Guilt which needs to be washed away with the Savior's blood. But it was not such guilt in him as it was in you, because your conscience checked you. Your conscience told you of the danger, warned you of the punishment, and yet you dared to go astray against God. And therefore you sinned presumptuously. You have sinned very grievously in having done so. When a man shall trespass on my ground, he shall be a trespasser, though he have no warning. But if straight before his face there stands a warning, and if he knowingly and willingly trespasses, then he is guilty of a presumptuous trespass and is to be so far punished accordingly. So you, if you had not known better, if your conscience had been less enlightened, you might have committed the deed with far less of the criminality which now attaches to you, because you sinned against conscience and consequently sinned presumptuously. You sinned against conscience. See, it's sinning because you know. You've had the warning. God has warned you, and you've done it anyway. That is presumptuous sin, when God warns you of it, when God deals with you with it, and you do it anyway. It's a sinning against your own conscience, that deputy of the soul. It's very bold and deliberate to sin that way, with a warning given you how dangerous, how very dangerous it is. To sin against light and presumptuously is to sin with a warning that has come. When good friends or brethren or counsel has been given you and warned you not to do it, and you do it anyway, that is a presumptuous sin. When you've been warned, when God has sent good people along to warn you of your sin, and you've done it anyway, you've presumptuously sinned against God. You've been warned. When God has clearly spoken to you through His Word and you ignore them, then you are presumptuously sinning against God, and it's a very dangerous place to be because you've been warned, you've been told straightforward. God has revealed it unto you and told you, don't do this. Presumptuous sin is deliberate sin. Presumptuous sin is not when something happens and you react quickly to it and sin against God or man, but it is a sin of failing. It is not the sin of failing God. It is the sin of planning to do your sin through when warning is given you and you still plan to do it anyway. It's when I deliberately sin against God. Another quote to give you here. They do, as it were, water the young seedling of lust until it grows to the maturity of desire. And then they go and commit the crime. There are some to whom lust is not a passerby, but a lodger at home. They receive it, they house it, they feast it, and when they sin deliberately, walk coolly to their lusts, and in cold blood commit the act which another might happily do in hot and furious haste. Now such a sin has in it a great extent of sinfulness. It is the sin of high presumption. To be carried away as a whirlwind of passion in a moment of wrong, in a moment is wrong. But to sit down and deliberately resolve upon revenge is cursed and diabolical. David prayed, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Lord, don't let me fall for that. Don't let me do that. Don't let me give myself over to that, knowing that I've been warned, knowing that I've had that light of conscience, knowing that I've been shown all these things, and I sin against you anyway. To sit down and deliberately fashion schemes of wickedness is heinous, and I can find no other word fitly to express it. To deliberate carefully how the crime is to be done, and Haman-like, to build the gallows and to set to work to destroy one's neighbor, to get the pit digged that the friend may fall into it and be destroyed, to lay snares in secret, to plot wickedness upon one's bed. This is the high pitch of presumptuous sin. May God forgive any of us if we have been guilty, so far guilty. That presumptuous sin. Haman build the gallows, and was going to hang Mordecai on those gallows, wasn't he? He had it all planned. He was going to murder this innocent man. But you know the thing about presumptuous sins? Haman ended up being hung on the same thing. The same gallows that he was going to hang somebody else on. A man sins presumptuously when he continues in that plotted and planned sin and heaps it on and heaps it on and adds to it daily with no repentance, and he is guilty of presumption. Turn to Numbers chapter 15. I want to show you something here. Numbers chapter 15. Now God had just given the law of the Sabbath. He had just given it to them. In Numbers chapter 15, we see that the priest talks about making atonement for people that sin ignorantly. Look at verse number 28. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. But the soul, look at this, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Now listen, I want you to understand some, give you some context here. This man was sinning presumptuously. That's why he was explaining that. This man that was gathering those bundles of sticks, He was going to be judged harshly. He was rebelling against God. He had walked out in the day, and he had just walked out there, and what he had done is he had walked in front of everybody on the Sabbath day, and he just started gathering sticks everywhere in front of everybody. What was he doing? He was shaking his fist at God, and he was saying, "Judge me then, God, but I'm going to sin before you and before man, and I don't care what anybody else thinks." He was rebelling against God. He was openly, boldly, deliberately sinning against God. This man wasn't, "Oh no, I'm gonna freeze to death, or I'm not going to have any food," or anything like that. No, that wasn't what he was doing. He was doing it on purpose. He was shaking his fist at God because God had just given that law. Do you understand? There are men that when they know there's a law, they go to break it. Have you ever been around people you work with that they know you don't like cussing, so they cuss anyway? They know you don't like some things they do, but they do it anyway. If they know you're offended at somebody using the Lord's name, and they sodomites do it all the time if they're around Christians. They'll kiss in front of Christians. They'll do all these provocative things. Why? Because they want to sin. It's a rebellion, and they want to sin presumptuously. They want to do it on purpose in the face of it, knowing that it's wrong. They want to do it anyway. But you know what? This comes home close to home to the born-again believer. More than it does the law, Stephen. And that's that he sins presumptuously, knowing the truth, experience the truth. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Listen, the law of the Sabbath under the Jewish dispensation was right there. This man deliberately sinned against it. He presumptuously sinned. He knew that it was wrong, and he was tempting God to judge him, and God brought judgment upon him. They didn't have a lot of wiggle room. God didn't with them. He judged them fiercely. But this man proved that he despised God and his commands. He despised them. They were little to him. "I don't care if God has it. I'm going to do what I want." Do you despise the commands of God? Do you despise his law? Make little his law? And say, it's no big deal. I mean, so I sin. I'll get forgiven for it. That's presumptuous sinning. It's very dangerous sinning. This man sinned because there was a law, so he felt he would be the first man to break it. If he had done this in his home when no one would have known, it would have been different. But he was brazen with his sin, bold and brazen betrayal to God. And the Lord shamed him. He brought shame to the congregation. Like I said, we see this preaching out on the streets. We see this with Christians becoming bold against God, knowing that things are wrong. If people know that cursing in Jesus' name bothers you, sometimes they'll just do it anyway. They'll just do it right in front of you. Presumptuously. Now, some of them may be considered ignorant of some things. But there are saved people out there that presumptuously sin when they know that God doesn't want them to do anything. And they cry out, "Grace, grace." You don't know what grace is if you do that. You don't even understand what grace is if you live your life like that. David is praying, "God, keep me back. Keep thy servant back." That's what presumptuous sins are. And he cried out, "God, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." He's asking God to restrain him, to keep him, to preserve him from falling into that or from giving himself over to that wickedness. "Keep me, O Lord." God preserves his saints. Say, do you believe the saints persevere? Yeah, I do. Because they're preserved. They're kept by the power of God. Is that wrong? That they will be victorious because they're kept by the power of God? That doesn't say you're not going to fail sometimes and you're not going to have to repent sometimes and you're going to do that daily. But because He keeps us and preserves us, we will not see corruption. We will not see an ultimate corruption. David never fell into absolute corruption. When he sinned, the goodness of God led him to repentance. David knows that the strength is from the Lord. In Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. David is leaning on the Lord. He's asking God to protect him from that sin. He's asking God to protect him. That he not fall away into that. That he not fall for that. That he not give himself over to presumptuous living and presumptuous sin. You and I have to lean on the Lord. We have to. For our strength. We've got to lean on the Lord. We can't do it in ourselves. We can't do it all by ourselves and think that we'll get the victory. Because we won't. We've got to lean on the Lord. We've got to depend on Him. We've got to put our trust into Him. And He's got to be our strength. Number two, we cannot allow any sin to have a safe haven with us. It is betrayal, it is brazen betrayal to God to allow any sin to be comfortable in our lives. It's betrayal to God. Absolute betrayal to Him. What His Son died for, that we would harbor that enemy and give it a safe haven. Give it a safe place to dwell. No, our home should not be a safe haven for any sin. Our churches should not be a safe haven for any sin. That's how presumptuous sins are done. That's how presumptuous sins are accepted. When our homes and our churches and we become a safe haven for any sin, that will lead to presumptuous sin. What is that great transgression? I believe that great transgression could be the sin unto death that the Bible talks about. Well, David prayed that interesting prayer, and then David said to Nathan the prophet, when Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man," what was David's words? He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Why did he say that? Because David knew that he plotted this sin, and he planned it. So David was saying to him, "Okay, I'm ready to die. I'm ready." And Nathan, what did Nathan say to him? "No, God hath put away your sin. You shall not die." But you know what? You're sure going to wish you were dead. I didn't see that in the King James. No, he didn't say that. But when David had to live out that fourfold judgment, the fourfold judgment of the man after God's own heart, remember that fourfold judgment? "That sword shall never depart from thy house." That lustful, wicked sin never departed from his house. His own son betrayed him. His other son murdered his other son. His children murdered one another. He lost the kingdom because he abused it. Everything that he did to Uriah the Hittite happened to him fourfold. Everything. His best friend turned his back on him. His counselor, Ahithophel, the wisest man in the kingdom, turned his back on him. Why did Ahithophel turn his back on David? Because Ahithophel was related to Uriah. That's why. David's sin did not go unpunished. I suppose David would have liked to have died. David talked about sitting in his bed and heard people murmuring. He heard them talking under their breath. David was in a state for a while, a very bad state, because of his sin. His judgment was not, you know, you read through Scripture and you think, well, all this took place in like, I don't know, like 2 days. No, it didn't. No. Tell me something. Would you rather be dead? Would you rather be dead than to watch your children kill each other? I would. Wouldn't you? I wouldn't want to watch my children kill each other. I'd rather be dead. God, kill me for my sin. No, there's a chastening and there's a punishment for sin. Absalom. What's the judgment? Well, look what happened to David. His own daughter got raped by her brother. Absalom then killed his brother, had his brother killed. Absalom then flees and leaves the kingdom. Then Joab brings him back, and when he brings him back, Absalom steals the hearts of the men, just like David stole the heart of Uriah's wife. And David flees the kingdom because he abused his power before God, and God said, I'm going to do this in the sight of the sun. Everything that he said, another man will take your wife and lie with your wives in the sight of this son. And who was it? His own son. His own son betrayed him. Presumptuous sin does not go unpunished. It does not go without chastisement. It didn't with David, and it won't with you. David sinned boldly against God. He tried to do it in private, but too many people were involved. And every abuse of power. And how about this? You want another one? He sent Joab to kill Uriah the Hittite, to put him in front, to pull him away and die. That same Joab murdered his son when he was hanging from a tree. When he was just as helpless as Joab, as just as helpless as Uriah was, when Uriah was pulled back, when the troops were pulled back from the wall, and they killed Uriah the Hittite on the wall. What happened to Absalom? Absalom was hanging up in a tree, and what did Joab do? He viciously, with cold blood, murdered him while he was hanging from a tree. And he had no defense for himself, just like Uriah had no defense for himself. No, presumptuous sin does not go unpunished. It didn't then, and it won't now. Best to repent. Best to confess it before God. Best to get it right. Best to let it go. Not to harbor it. Don't give it a safe haven. Don't give it a safe place. Because there is a sin unto death, where God may take you home. We never think about this. He might leave you here to deal with you for a while. He might leave you here to deal with that and chasten you for a while, that you might be a partaker of His holiness. Because that's what chastening does. The Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, and faint not when thou art rebuked of Him. But there is a sin unto death, the Bible says. But there's also good news. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Don't boldly and brazenly sin against God. As a child of a God, don't sin against conscience. Don't sin against what's right. Don't sin against counsel when you've been given it. Don't sin against the Holy Spirit's leadings and the men that He puts in front of you to preach to you, to give you the truth. Don't sin against that. Don't sin against those witnesses that are given you. That's brazen sin. And as a child of God, if you presumptuously sin, He will chasten you. And He will deal with you. There are some that believe in a sinless perfection, which is Not true. But anyway, they believe in a sinless perfection, and they believe that, well, you know, you lose your salvation if you can forfeit your salvation. They say you can just forfeit it. You can just give it up. I didn't know it was yours to give. I thought it was God's. I thought salvation was of the Lord. Anyway, maybe theirs isn't. But and sometimes these people, they don't understand the fact that when God has a son, he doesn't stop being his son. The prodigal son, when he left and he wallowed in the mire and he spent his fortune, his inheritance with riotous living, with harlots, the goodness of God led him to repentance, and he looked up and he remembered his father's house when he was wallowing in the pig mire and he had nothing left. And he looked up and he remembered his father. Why? Because his father had chastened him. But he said, you know what? My father's good. And I remember him. I never needed anything when I was with him. Maybe my father will forgive me. Maybe I can come back and maybe I can just be his servant. Maybe he'll let me be his servant. But God said, no, bring him the robe, put the ring on his finger, for my son has come home. That's the answer to presumptuous sinning. That you would look up and see your father and how good he is. And his goodness leads the children of God to repentance. That he would forgive you. And he would restore you to that fellowship that you've lost. Be careful with presumptuous sins. Sinning against the warnings, the light, the testimony, the conscience, the truth. Headlong, heady with it, brazen with it in rebellion, God will deal with you. And you might wish you were dead. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Lord, may they sink into our hearts. Lord, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Please help us. Please, Lord, keep us from that evil. Keep us from wicked imaginations and devices in our minds. And let us not plot or plan anything, but let us confess our sins to you. Get them right. Repent and be forgiven. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Dear God, that was the cry of David. Let them not have dominion over me. Lord, that's the cry. That's the pray today. That's the prayer today. We know that we will sin. We don't have to. We're not destined to sin, but we've been conformed to the image of Christ. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. But Lord, let the sin not have dominion over us. Let it not rule us, Lord. You promised that in your word, that if we would be faithful and walk in the Spirit, and we'd mortify the deeds of the flesh, that you'd give victory. Help us now, God. Keep us back from presumptuous sins, that they have no dominion over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.